Hello there, you're listening to Audacity, the Authentic Entrepreneur Podcast, especially for female founders. I'm your host, Claire Akers. In this space, you'll hear me talk about anything and everything you need to build an authentic and aligned business that's capable of changing the world. I'm a mum of three, entrepreneur and founder of two businesses so far, and an authenticity coach since 2007. Most importantly, I'm a cheerleader for those of you who have been brave and audacious enough to risk it all, follow your heart and build a business. So welcome to the Audacity Podcast. I'm so glad you're here and let's dive in to the episode. So today we are talking about imposter syndrome and specifically how it shows up in women. So that's whether you are employed, whether you're a senior person or a leader person in your business, or whether you're an entrepreneur or a founder and running your own business. And this is the biggest problem that women come to me with, this imposter syndrome. And the first thing I want you to know is that it doesn't need to be this way. Imposter syndrome is so common. It's so commonly talked about these days. I think people almost have this learned helplessness about it where they just think, oh, I've got imposter syndrome. Oh, well, I just have to live with it or fight it. And that's the first thing I want to let you know is that it is possible to ditch it. So tell me if this sounds familiar to you. On paper, you look pretty awesome. You look pretty successful. You have reached a certain level in your career. You are respected. You are credible. You are seen. You're seen as credible. You've got a certain level of responsibility, whatever that means in your world. You might be a leader. You might be senior. You might be running your own business. But your CV or your LinkedIn profile, it looks pretty awesome. You've got qualifications, you've got accolades, you've got awards maybe, professional recognition in some way, whether that's testimonials or awards or anything like that. People are saying nice stuff about you. You've got a pretty good reputation. Essentially, you look the part. You know, you can go into a room and you look like you belong there. And people would probably be shocked to understand that you feel this way, to understand that you feel like you have imposter syndrome. They would not guess that you struggle with imposter syndrome. And yet you do. You absolutely do. You struggle with imposter syndrome. It's that feeling of, who the heck am I to hold this position, to try to build a company, to go for that thing, whether that's a job or a new client or whatever it is. It's that feeling of being a fraud, that feeling of being a phony, like there's been some sort of mistake and somebody's going to tap you on the shoulder and say, excuse me, can you go back over there, get back into your box, please, you don't belong here. And it's that feeling of that you don't belong, your face doesn't fit, you don't fit in, you're in the wrong room. And it's unsettling and it's anxiety inducing. It feels horrible, those snakes in the pit of your stomach, that lump in your throat where you feel like you feel like you're choking and you can't get your words out. It's belittling and it's diminishing. It's really, really diminishing. And it causes physical anguish. It causes mental anguish and it causes emotional anguish. And I want you to hear today that it is not your fault. If you struggle with imposter syndrome, 70% of professionals do, so you're not alone, but it is not your fault. There are really strong evolutionary and scientific reasons for imposter syndrome. And I also want you to know that you don't need to put up with it. You absolutely do not need to just put up with it and go on with your life. You can get rid of your imposter syndrome so it doesn't stop you. So today we are going to start with the seven biggest signs of imposter syndrome in women. Awareness is the first step. So what I want you to do is listen to these and just see how many you resonate with, just make a note somewhere, and you might even get a full house, and that is okay. And then I'm going to tell you what you can do about this. So my name is Claire Akers. I am an authenticity coach. I work with female leaders, with female founders, to help them rip up the rule book about what they believe is possible for them and get rid of their imposter syndrome. And how do I know so much about imposter syndrome? Well, I have struggled with all of these seven signs myself at one point or another. I've struggled with imposter syndrome for decades. I'm 41 now, and I've struggled with it for decades. And a spoiler alert, I still struggle with imposter syndrome. However, what I have learned is how to turn down that dial on my imposter syndrome so it doesn't stop me. I'm aware of it. It's there, but it no longer stops me or even slows me down. And I have worked with women since 2007 on this same stuff, on how to get rid of their imposter syndrome. So I like to think that I know a thing or two about what specifically women struggle with and also how to help them with it. And a note on the women thing. So the data shows that 70% of professionals struggle with imposter syndrome. It's not just women. It's women, men, it's everybody in between. It doesn't matter how you identify. The point is that you've got something to feel fraudulent about. However, what I have seen in my work is that women, they have a particular set of circumstances, a particular set of challenges that are specific to them. And so that is what I'm focusing on in this conversation. Now, however you identify, please take whatever you can from this conversation. But my work has primarily been with women, and that is why I have chosen to focus on them. Okay, so like I say, I have been helping women get rid of imposter syndrome since 2007, and these are the most common signs I see. And I have chosen to use real women, real clients to illustrate each of these points, but I've changed names. So the stories are all true. I have just changed some names. So let me know how many you resonate with. Okay, so number one is feeling like a fraud or a phony. And you feel like it is only a matter of time until somebody taps you on the shoulder and asks, who the hell are you to try and run a business? Who the hell are you to show up and be credible in that position? So one of my clients, Jess, is the CEO of a multi-million pound company that she founded. And every single time that she got asked to speak in public, number one fear, right? Public speaking, whether that was a panel or to appear on a podcast or a TV show or to present or receive an award, her imposter syndrome would kick in and the words would just dry up in her throat. You know, she'd be waiting in the wings and she'd panic that the organizers had made a massive mistake and invited her by mistake and confused her with somebody else. Or that her sheer incompetence, as she perceived it, would be exposed and they'd realize that she was not as good as the hype, right? And for her, the trigger was being visible. It was being in the limelight and having all attention focused on her, and that just triggered her imposter syndrome big time. And the problem is for her is that she knows it's making her play small and not shout loudly enough about her achievements and therefore be the CEO that she is capable of being. And she's so frustrated by letting her imposter syndrome have so much power over her. So that is number one, you feel like a fraud or a phony. Number two is you attribute your success to luck. You attribute it to luck or being in the right place at the right time, or nepotism, or being part of a tick box exercise, or getting lucky. Basically anything but having earned it, anything but feeling like you deserve that success. And because of that, you struggle to relax and enjoy the fruits of your labor, enjoy and relax and enjoy your hard work. So Delilah, she is the CTO of a large national institution, and she got where she is by hard graft. She was a single mum. She put herself through university at night school while her daughter was asleep. She worked her backside off to get her current role as CTO. And yet she is petrified that she only got the role that she has through being a tick box exercise because she's a woman. And her imposter is absolutely destroying her confidence and her faith in her own instincts. She's not taking the big decisions and taking the big risks that she was employed to do. You know, she was brought in to do a certain role and she's not doing them because her imposter is running the show. And she's letting her peers, her stakeholders, mostly white men, talk over her in meetings and claim her ideas as her own. And she's kicking herself because of it. She's petrified of making the wrong move, of taking the wrong decision and getting fired. And the irony is, because she is playing small, she is more likely to get fired because she's not making the big moves which she was employed to do. So that is number two, feeling like you got where you are through luck. Number three is you seek approval or permission. So this is where you don't trust your own judgment or your intuition. So you wait for the green light from somebody else. And this can also be seen as a need for recognition or a need for validation. You know, that's some sort of external recognition or validation that you are doing the right thing. And this is often seen hand in hand with the good girl archetype, which we haven't got time to go into today. But if you're interested, ask me about it. So let me tell you about Sarah. So she owns a PR company and she was attracting clients that absolutely pushed her buttons. They were smashing her boundaries. There was massive scope creep. So she was being asked to do more and more things that weren't in the original contract. They were demanding more hours from her and not paying her for them. And she had also lowered her rates to work with them in the first place. And she was desperate to ditch them and then focus on the kind of work that really lit her up. Her zone of genius work. Again, if you'd like to know about zone of genius work, give me a shout. But her imposter was telling her to be a good girl, to be grateful for what she had, to not push her luck, to play it safe, that at least it was a steady income, even if it was kind of keeping her in a survival trap. And she had forgotten that she had set up in business in the first place to be her own boss, to not need approval or permission from anybody about how she chose to run her business, what she chose to charge for her services and the hours that she chose to work. So her imposter, sign number three, was seeking that approval and permission. Hey, it's Claire here. Just jumping on to check whether you've taken my free authenticity and alignment scorecard. With it, you'll be able to benchmark how you're doing on your authenticity journey. It's a short quiz, just 30 questions, and at the end, you will get your score and your personalized report. So, if you are looking to be an authentic leader and want to grow an aligned company that allows you to have it all, what are you waiting for? Take the scorecard. It's totally free of charge. There's a link in the show notes. So let's move on to number four, which is being a chronic overachiever. I can really resonate with this one. So this is where you have got something to prove. You have absolutely got something to prove. You work your backside off and you over-prepare for stuff. But the problem is with this is that you never feel secure and you never feel satisfied. There's always the next level. There's always something else to go and prove. And this often goes hand in hand with being a control freak as well. So Jane was a chronic overachiever. She had come from humble beginnings, very working class town, but then she'd managed to kind of work her way out of that situation. She got good grades, was the first in her family to go to university, got good grades at university, went and got a graduate job and ended up as a program manager in a software company. And she'd always kind of had a touch of imposter syndrome. But it was when she left the business to go on maternity leave to have her first child and then came back after maternity leave that the imposter syndrome really came in. And she was struggling to keep control at home and prove she was being a good mum. And she was really struggling to prove her self-worth at work. You know, her peers were really technical and kind of shouting over in meetings. The relationships were struggling because she was trying to prove herself all the time, kind of prove that she hadn't lost it by taking on that new identity as being a mum. So she was taking on more and more harder projects where time was lost and just doubting her ability and losing sight of who she really was by trying to overachieve and prove this stuff. And her imposter would never let her rest and enjoy everything that she had achieved so far and just take a moment to celebrate and recognize how fab she was. Okay, so number five is you're paralyzed by new level, new devil. Love this one. It's really, really interesting. So this is where you have big dreams, but imposter syndrome is keeping you small. Because anytime you step outside your comfort zone and do something that's unfamiliar, your imposter syndrome, i.e. a new devil, will pop up out of the woodwork to make you self-sabotage or somebody pop out to make you doubt yourself. So you give up. Give up doing the new thing, the new scary thing, and stay back in your comfort zone, where it is familiar, where it is perceived safety, even if it's not serving you. So Sally, she had a really big dream. She wanted to pivot her recruitment company into a consultancy, and she was so excited about the impact that she wanted to have with this new business. But with this new level, this challenge, this unknown, her imposter syndrome, her devil popped up. And for her, she attracted huge criticism from the people that should have been her biggest supporters. Her mum, her husband, really criticized her, and it led to her self-sabotaging and almost giving up on her dream. So that is new level, new devil. And then number six is you procrastinate. So this is a really good way of keeping yourself busy so you don't need to do the scary things. And it could also show up as being too busy. You know, you've got an overflowing to-do list and then getting overwhelmed, which is a really good way of numbing and distracting yourself from doing the scary things that are going to actually move the needle for you. So Catherine, she wanted to go for a big promotion, but imposter syndrome caused her to procrastinate putting in the application. There was all something more urgent to do, a task for her daughter, some sort of fire to put out at work, a team member needing something, all very valid tasks, but they allowed her to procrastinate and not do the thing that she actually wanted to do. And similarly, Jo wanted to pitch for an expo speaking gig, but her to-do list prevented her from getting down to it, or so she thought. Okay, and then finally we have you obsess over mistakes and or criticism. So this is where you lie awake obsessing over a small mistake that probably nobody else even noticed. Or you take criticism, even the most constructive feedback, to heart and as fact, and it just breaks you apart. So my story about this one is Helen. So she messed up on her email system, on her CRM system. And she sent a placeholder email where she just kind of typed in a load of rubbish just to keep the email in the sequence, and sent it out to her whole email list of thousands. Embarrassing? Yeah. Not ideal? Probably not. Have we all done similar? I know I certainly have. But her imposter syndrome had her awake at 2 a.m., absolutely flooded with shame, racked with guilt, hauling herself over the coals about how she was so embarrassing and had no place running a business. Her imposter syndrome was saying that clearly she was terrible at her job, had no business even trying to put herself out there, and was so, so unprofessional. So that is your seven signs. How many did you get? Did you get a full house? And I promised you at the start of this conversation that I was going to tell you what to do about imposter syndrome, how you can learn to turn the dial down so your imposter syndrome doesn't need to stop you. And it's going to take some action from you because I'm inviting you to a masterclass. Freedom from imposter syndrome for female leaders and entrepreneurs. And in that masterclass, I'm going to teach you the exact strategy that I use to get rid of my imposter syndrome. So if you've been listening to this and we're 20 minutes in, so you must resonate with something here, please, please, please come and join me, because it is not your fault you have struggled with imposter syndrome and it does not need to stop you. So come along to that free masterclass. There is a link in the notes for this conversation. I would love you to be there. If you have any questions, reach out to me. It's next week. It's the 21st of June at 12 o'clock. And I would love you to be there and learn how to ditch your imposter syndrome. So there we have it. That's all for today. I hope you enjoyed today's conversation. Don't forget to like, rate, and subscribe so you never miss an episode. And thanks for listening. In case nobody's told you today, you're awesome. See you next time.